You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast. Good to have you with us ahead of another Premier League weekend. We're going to look at the four live televised games over Saturday and Sunday. Dave Kellner here in the studio, and I'm joined on the line now by James Ducker, the Northern Football Correspondent for the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, covering Manchester City and Manchester United. First of all, it's a warm welcome. A good morning to you, James.
Good morning to you, Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, yeah. Yeah, a little bit weary after an eventful week with City and Barcelona, and then United against Fenerbahce last night. But all's good. More big games to come.
What did you make to Manchester City's performance in Barcelona? Because the scoreline read 4-0 at the end of the evening, but that first half, I watched the match, and that first half was quite even.
Yeah, I thought City did relatively well in the first half. It's a difficult one. I mean, I would say that City were probably never going to have a better opportunity to beat Barcelona in their own backyard. I don't think Barcelona played well at all, really. And, you know, people will say that's in part because of how City played, and, you know, they pressed high and pressed quite sensibly. But I just thought Barcelona weren't really at it by their sort of high standards. And I thought City sort of missed a trick, really, in that first half. I thought, obviously, there was a bad mistake by Fernandinho for the first Barcelona goal. But I think that was one of the differences between the sides. Barcelona were emphatic in front of goal, very clinical, whereas when opportunities sort of reared their head for City, they didn't take those chances. And you have to take your chances against that Barcelona side, because you know that they will do. And then, obviously, the wheels fell off once Claudio Bravo had been sent off. But, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I thought there was definitely sort of encouraging signs, and they weren't overawed as such in the way that they were in some of the games with Pellegrini. Mm. But I still looked at it and thought, this is a Barcelona team below par, and you still weren't able to take advantage of that. And I think that will be a little bit of a concern for Guardiola.
Do you think it came at a difficult time for Manchester City, because Sergio Aguero just returning from injury, and he is their talisman still, James?
Yeah, I mean, he's not really returned from injury. He obviously injured himself in the first Argentina game against Peru, and then ended up playing, you know, 4 or 5 days later against Paraguay. And I think City are a little bit exasperated about that. He's taken risks on international duty before and paid the price with a more severe injury. But, you know, he was on the bench against Everton, you know, and came on. He was more than fit to start that game. And I think, I mean, obviously, in hindsight, they lose 4-0. Everyone says, oh, you know, what a disastrous sort of decision not starting with Aguero. But I just don't understand the logic on, you know, at any point not starting him. Guardiola said it was tactically wanting more bodies in midfield. But, you know, even if he played Aguero up front, it still had, you know, Gundogan and Fernandinho and Silva there. He could have pushed De Bruyne out wide. I think there were quite a few times where De Bruyne got to the byline, pulled the ball across, and there was just no one there where you'd expect Aguero to be. I just think Barcelona looked at that team sheet and thought, you know, great. I mean, they lost Jordi Alba, Gerard Piqué in that first half. They had a very makeshift defence. They had, I think, three left-footed French defenders in it. They had Javier Mascherano playing at right back. You know, it was a surprise Aguero didn't start. It was even more of a surprise that he didn't come on at half-time, yeah, when City had finished the first half strongly, but they're still trailing, and Barcelona have got the sort of very patched-up, depleted defence out there. I think so much of what Guardiola has done in such a short space of time at City is very exciting. I think there's been some really, really interesting changes, but I watch that game, and I sometimes think there's a danger of him being a little bit too clever for his own good in that game.
Okay, let's get stuck into this weekend's football in the Premier League. It's back. Bournemouth versus Spurs is the first live game this weekend, Saturday 12:30, and Bournemouth are 14-5 to win it here with William Hill. The draw 13-5 with Tottenham even money. A couple of enhanced odds offers. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. Was 5-1, now 7-1. And Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 11-4. It's been enhanced to 4-1. James, Bournemouth coming into this on the back of that emphatic 6-1 win against Hull last weekend. Spurs maintained their unbeaten record but left it late at the Hawthorns against West Brom, drawing that game 1-1 in the end. They're going to have to cope without Toby Alderweireld, which I think is going to be huge for the Spurs side.
Yeah, I mean, Alderweireld, I think, has been one of the big success stories in the past sort of season and a half or so. And I think for the price they got him, I think there's certainly cities in United probably looking at thinking what a great bargain that we missed out on. It'll be an interesting game. I don't think when Bournemouth played City, Guardiola was sort of very complimentary about them, and I think he's probably been a little bit kind. Eddie Howe, I don't think agreed. Bournemouth didn't cope particularly well with City's sort of high press, and I think they looked pretty harassed and hounded from the start, and it will be interesting to see if they cope better with that against Tottenham. But I mean, they will have a serious sort of spring in the step. I mean, Hull have sort of have dropped after that, you know, bright first couple of games, but 6-1 by any standard is pretty emphatic and a huge win for a club like them. And obviously drew against Watford before them, but they had a very good win against Everton as well. So they are coming into that game sort of riding high and full of confidence. And it will be imperative they start well, though. I think if they have a good first half an hour, then they could maybe ask some questions. But you know, that Tottenham side are very, very capable.
Do you think they'll win Tottenham then?
It's away. Bournemouth, been pretty impressive really at home. They've won all their home games, haven't they? I think all their home games in the league, apart from the opening day defeat to United. A draw wouldn't surprise me, but Tottenham are going to have to be good to beat them.
13-5, the draw in the game. Saturday tea time, 5:30. Liverpool host West Brom. And Liverpool are 3-10, 100-30 on here to win this game. The draw 9-2 with West Brom 10-1 to go to Anfield and win. Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 23-20. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Nasser Chadli to score and West Brom to win was 18-1. It's been enhanced to 25-1. Jurgen Klopp has said in the lead-up to this match, James, that he knows exactly how to deal with West Brom because they set up just like Manchester United, which was a thinly veiled dig at Jose Mourinho, having played out that 0-0 draw at Anfield on Monday night. What did you make to that game, first of all, the Liverpool-Manchester United match?
Well, I totally disagree with what Jurgen Klopp's saying about that. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was United who spent most of their most of the first half in Liverpool's half. So I don't really agree with that parking the bus sort of accusations at a level that United. And I thought they clearly went there to make sure that they didn't lose. But I think they were sort of, you know, more attack-minded than people give them credit for. I think it was very much a sort of game of two halves. I think United had much the better of the first half. I think Liverpool were the better side in the second half. But, you know, I thought United approached the game in a certain way, and Liverpool didn't cope particularly well with that. And the things that we've seen Liverpool do this season, they just didn't do in that game. And maybe they missed Wijnaldum. I don't think Lallana was fit enough to start the game, and they missed him. But there was a lot of criticism that went United's way, and I thought Liverpool didn't exactly cover themselves in glory in that game either. So, as for, I think you'll find West Brom sit and play far, far deeper than United did in that game. But yeah, I mean, he's been quite chippy about United all season, Klopp. I think he's quite enjoyed sort of poking a finger in their direction, and Mourinho is sort of surprisingly not quite sort of risen to the bait. But I would still expect Liverpool to be West Brom at home. They're not had a bad start to the season. A couple of decent wins against West Ham and Palace, but quite a few. I think they've had about 3-1 all draws, haven't they, West Brom? So I would expect a Liverpool victory there, but they'll have to. West Brom and Tony Pulis is a very sort of reliable Premier League spoiler, and he will be playing, I think, very defensively and trying to make it difficult for Liverpool. And it'll be interesting to see if they can shake things up and break down what is very much likely to be a sort of a rear guard action.
It's evident how different a side Liverpool look when Daniel Sturridge plays up front as opposed to Roberto Firmino. I think that Jurgen Klopp, James, wants Roberto Firmino to be his focal point in that attack because his work rate is so much more than Daniel Sturridge, and he offers something different, doesn't he? His runs in behind, and they looked a completely different team when Daniel Sturridge was withdrawn in that second half.
Yeah, I think Sturridge is a maddening player. I think he's guilty of. There's a big question about his work rate in a team like Liverpool with the way Klopp wants to play. Unless Klopp manages to extract sort of something we've not seen in Daniel Sturridge, I wouldn't say he's a natural fit for a Jurgen Klopp team. Mm. Whereas Firmino, it looked absolutely a Klopp player, very much like Coutinho does and Mane does and Henderson and Wijnaldum and Lallana. There's obviously a very sort of certain type of player that he favours. And that incredible season Daniel Sturridge had at Liverpool, his finishing is not in question. He's an exceptional finisher, but he still had Luis Suarez playing with him, and it would have been very interesting to see how he got in that season if there hadn't been Luis Suarez in that time. I think he made an enormous difference to Daniel Sturridge's game. I could see a scenario where Sturridge is used more as an impact sub at times. I'm just not sure with the way, unless there is a change of approach and a change of thinking on Sturridge's part, I don't quite see how he fits entirely into that game plan.
On to Sunday, and Manchester City at home against Southampton, Sunday 1:30. Manchester City 1-2, the draw 7-2 with Southampton 11-2. Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win was 19-10. That's been enhanced to 3-1. And Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 10-1. Now 12-1. Pep Guardiola's men have gone 4 without a win now, James, after that 4-1 defeat in the Camp Nou midweek. I wonder whether he's regretting that decision to get rid of Joe Hart and replace him with Claudio Bravo yet, because I understand the ethos behind playing with that goalkeeper that likes to distribute possession to the back four, but he's made more errors than he has an impact positively in the early part of the season.
Yeah, I think that it was a curious move for me at the time, and it remains so. The Guardiola has spent obviously time deconstructing the sort of the spine of that City side that won 2 Premier League titles, and I don't think anyone would disagree with him sort of freezing out Yaya Toure. I think he was on borrowed time looked like he's on borrowed time for a while at City. Vincent Kompany equally, has to be. Guardiola's made it very clear he has to be fit if he's going to, fold into his sort of long-term plans. Although it was interesting that Kompany was fit and didn't make the 18 against Barcelona on Wednesday, but the heart issue is a concern. Guardiola is clearly a very, very talented coach, and I would say that Joe Hart's not everyone's cup of tea, but there was more than enough to work with there. I think he's certainly a very, very talented shot stopper and a very good goalkeeper, but he wasn't that bad with his feet that it was impossible to sort of get him up to the level that Guardiola expects from his goalkeeper and ball playing terms. I think it was much more a personality clash, and I think that's why Joe Hart made way, not because he couldn't get to a level with his feet that Guardiola demands, but Bravo, I've not been bowled over by his sort of distribution with his feet. He's You know, I mean, I think in that level, we obviously look at Manuel Neuer, and obviously he's out in his own. But, you know, I haven't been massively impressed by Bravo's ability with his feet. And then and obviously on Wednesday, there are times when, and I think Guardiola admitted this after the game, when you just have to clear the ball. And, you know, I think he's so... Maybe some of his goalkeepers or the defenders feel so wedded to that policy of playing out that even in very, very dangerous circumstances, they're trying to pick a pass when really they should clear the lines. And that was very much one of those instances on Wednesday, although even that said, it was obviously a catastrophic error from him. And you saw him flapping in the derby. I don't think there's been too many other mistakes, but... It was a big call, and I sometimes wonder whether, you know, Guardiola just wanted to lay down a marker, really, and throw his weight around and say, you know, I'm in charge, you know, this is how it's going to be. And I think so many of his decisions have been right, and I'm surprised, actually, at the speed and the success with which he's managed to change things so far. But I didn't agree with the heart call. And the interesting thing that he's got now is there's four games where they haven't won. I actually think going forward in a lot of those games, they've actually played quite well, you know, very much so against Everton, at times against Barcelona, again at times against Tottenham. They didn't actually play too badly in that game, and certainly against Celtic. The difference is in three of those four games, they have played teams that play them at their own game, that like to press high. They don't just press needlessly. They're pretty educated and smart about the way that they do it. And City's defence and Fernandinho at times haven't looked comfortable against that. They haven't looked comfortable being pressed high up the field and put under more pressure than the team who sits back. And that is going to be, I think, the challenge for Guardiola. Can he find an answer to teams that play that way? And Southampton, I think they were better side against Inter Milan by all accounts last night. They've won five of their seven games before that. You know, they have got players that, you know, can harass and around and maybe ask a few questions, and confidence is certainly high. So it's certainly not a cakewalk for City on Sunday.
Do you think they'll end up winning the game, James?
I think they will. I think they've got enough there, and I think they've looked pretty potent at home. I definitely think they've got enough to win there. But it's a very big game, because obviously they've got United in the EFL Cup on Wednesday, and if they drop 2 points there, or they get beaten, you know, and it's five without a win going into that game, it does sort of turn up the pressure. But I think you'll see this with... I mean, we're always looking to make sort of, you know, definitive conclusions, aren't we, you know, every couple of weeks. But I think you will see this very much with the top teams throughout the course of the season. I just think there'll be a lot of ups and downs, and people will win a few games and they might not win for a few games. And I just think it will be very, very up and down for a good few months yet.
We finished the weekend, as far as the televised games are concerned, with Chelsea versus Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. And Chelsea are 6-5 to win this match. The draw 23-10, with Manchester United 13-5. Enhanced odds offers, Diego Costa to score any time, and Chelsea to win, was 9-4. That's been boosted to 11-4. And Marcus Rashford to score and Manchester United to win, was 9-2. It's now 6-1. Jose Mourinho, of course, returning to his former club. And I wonder whether he'll set up the team exactly like he did at Anfield, with Ashley Young, who was fantastic in his role on Monday night, and Ander Herrera sitting deep in that midfield, played brilliantly as well. Do you think he'll set up in a similar way to the way he did against Liverpool?
I think you'll definitely see a three-man midfield, you know, Herrera, Pogba, two of them, and then, you know, probably Fellaini, who was on the bench last night. Herrera wasn't even in the 18-man squad, obviously very much with an eye on Sunday. So, yes, I think you'll probably see that same three-man midfield. I think there's a lot of United fans who actually probably like to see Michael Carrick in with Herrera and Pogba. He made a rare appearance last night and played very well. But, yeah, I think it'll be a three-man midfield. Ashley Young starting. I'd start Anthony Martial, you know, on the left. Just gives you that more pace, dynamism, I think, going forward than Young. But if he wants to keep it tight, play it safe, try and nick a 1-0, then it wouldn't be a surprise if Young started. But I think if you've got a three sort of in midfield, then I think you can afford to have sort of more pace and sort of flair out wide. And I think obviously you've seen some signs of Martial sort of being a little bit more prepared to track back and work harder under Mourinho. And I mean he was a big player for them last season, and for a whole manner of reasons it hasn't quite happened for him yet, but scored again last night, scored against Stoke. I think United fans will hope to see a corner turn, but he asked the majority of them, they'd like to see Anthony Martial there over Ashley Young.
Do you think Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been effective? Because I was watching that game on Monday night against Liverpool, and the amount of balls that got knocked up to him, and you'd expect a man of Ibrahimovic's stature to be able to hold the ball up and bring other players into the game. And it was evident that the ball was it was bouncing off him at will, really, and he didn't really control the game as I expected.
Yeah, I've been a little bit disappointed with him in recent weeks. I think there's been so much sort of attention on Pogba that Ibrahimovic has gone a little bit under the radar, in recent weeks. I think it's one goal in seven, isn't it, now after five in his first five or something like that. And for me, what's been noticeable, Dave, is he's actually missed a lot of chances. I mean, there was a wonderful ball from Pogba, and at the very least he needed to get his header on target against Liverpool on Monday, but he made a complete hash of that. Missed chances against Stoke, missed chances against Leicester, did score against City, but missed a couple of very good chances in that game. He has missed sort of chances, and I think there are definitely some games where, the United needed sort of a greater presence, a bit more of a swagger, a bit more of a physical sort of threat up front, unquestionably. And Ibrahimovic offers that, and I think he will be a very important player for them this season, and has an impact unquestionably at times this year. But I do think there are games where United will benefit from sort of Rashford's pace and energy and sort of fearlessness in a central sort of position. He's not always looked entirely comfortable, if you ask me, sort of in one of those wide positions off a centre forward. And if you're looking at it, Chelsea's defence, some of their problems. I know they had a couple of good results in the last couple of weeks, but Rashford's pace against them in a central position, it's got to be a temptation for Jose, but that would obviously mean dropping Ibrahimovic. And he said he's prepared to do that. He said he's prepared to do that with Pogba, but I don't see that just yet.
No, you think Ibrahimovic starts in this game then?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. What's your prediction then? Big match, huge match at Stamford Bridge?
I think it'll be quite tight. I think it'll probably be a draw.
Yeah, the draw is in the betting at 23-10, maybe even a 0-0 draw in this game, which is available at 17-2. James, thank you for your company.
Pleasure, Dave.
Where are you this weekend? Are you at Stamford Bridge or at the Etihad?
No, I'm at City, Southampton.
Okay, enjoy that. Enjoy City versus Southampton. Remember, you can follow James on Twitter. Please do, at Telegraph Ducker is James's Twitter handle. You can follow me at D Kellner. Check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, very best of luck. Thank you again, James, for your company.
Pleasure. Cheers, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.